Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're back, and it's Monday. Happy, gang's all here.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How's everyone doing?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you. I wanted to let Tanya answer first. It would be rude to jump in otherwise. Things are good. In the bedroom closet here.
Yeah. Surrounded by all your clothing.
My stuff. And these are sweatshirts and hats on this side.
Wow.
That's my clothes. And the Namies are the other two walls.
It's very organized.
Well, somewhat.
Easton, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm in an office, not a closet, but I just got some new board shorts in the mail, and I'm wearing them right now. I'm very excited about them.
Like swim shorts?
Yeah. They have a gecko on.
Whoa!
Aren't those cool?
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah.
What is this thing called?
That's a hang loose.
Shaka. They're very cool in an Easton sense. I'm not sure I could pull those off.
I disagree, but, you know, you live in the...
Are you going swimming after, or just like they're just comfortable?
You know, okay. I was listening to an interview with a guy in a band that I like, and he was saying that he wears board shorts just all the time, and he showers with them on, and then like that's how he washes. Like, and he wears them for like 4 or 5 days at a time, which sounds like a very Dean Unglert thing to do, and I don't plan on doing that. But I did think, like, this summer I think I'm just gonna wear board shorts all the time, whether I'm going in the water or not. So. That's what I'm doing.
So it's the new you.
It's the new me. We did just get an above ground pool, and I might go in there later. And if I do, I don't have to change.
Wait, the one that looked like it wasn't quite set up properly, or a different one?
We learned our lesson. We got an inflatable above ground pool, and that did not hold water. So we sent it back. We were lucky enough to, I know they're all like sold out right now, but we got a steel framed above ground pool. That's the same size.
We got one too. I wonder if we got the same kind.
I'll send you the brand later, but I think yours is deeper than mine. Mine's like 4 feet deep, 3 feet deep.
Oh, but yeah, ours is about that, maybe even less than that.
All right.
Tanya, would you like to elaborate on your fine? Or that's just the best description? And
I mean, it's like health-wise, I'm good. Feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Mental-wise, I'm okay. I mean, I think just like everybody else, everything just feels very heavy, and so I'm fine. I'm not bad. I'm not good. I'm just am.
Coasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy, coasting. But I'm so encouraged by the fact that these protests are not slowing down. Like, they are out there every day by the tens of thousands, and I find that so encouraging, and that maybe this is a time when something's actually going to change and people are going to listen, and both houses of Congress are coming up with policing legislation, and we'll see what gets passed, if anything, but somebody's finally listening, and I find that really encouraging.
I have to say, it's been like, I've gone to a couple of them, and I've been like very overwhelmed in emotionally, you know what I mean? Just like very, there's this like unity in these protests that's just very like filling of my heart, fills my heart.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also very safe. Like, I know a lot of people are nervous about COVID. Like, that's why they're not wanting to go protest. But I think you can find smaller ones that are like very like good.
But did you notice people were wearing masks and stuff still? Or is everyone kind of like free for all?
The one that I've been going to, everybody's been wearing masks and not so much gloves, but masks. Yeah.
I think you might be the only person still wearing the gloves.
Still wearing the gloves, baby.
It
just like is a reminder not to, because I touch my eyes a lot.
But if you, so you don't touch your eyes if you have the gloves on.
Correct.
And you also blink, which makes your eyes more susceptible to other people's droplets.
I'll use my wrist or something. You know what I mean? Which probably still isn't great, but.
But you had a emergency situation, speaking of your eyes always being open.
It was like the craziest thing. I was running on Saturday, like my normal route. And this like a bunch of stuff flew in my eye, and like to the point where like I couldn't run anymore. Like I had to stop and like walk back to my house, and I was like blinking. I was splashing water in it and nothing was coming out. This is like hours are going by. And then all of a sudden it just starts like watering. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I couldn't find anything. Maybe I thought I scratched my eye, cause I was like Googling everything. So I was like, there's no way that I can like go on without with something happening to my eye. You know what I mean? So I was like, thought about going to urgent care. I had one of my girlfriends come over and literally with gloves and a mask and like all the things lift my eyelid up. She found this like black, I don't even know what it was. It was speck. Like almost looked like a black speck, yeah, but it looked like a dart, like it was sharp. And it was all the way in the back of my eyelid. And she got it out with like a Q-tip that I had like soaked in eye drops.
Was it like instant relief?
Instant relief. And I'm telling you, this was like 5 hours of just like pure pain in my eye that I thought was a scratch. And I was like, I don't know what you do if you have a scratch in your eye. Like you can't, you know what I mean? Like it was instant relief. It was kind of wild. For 5 hours.
I don't know how you lasted for 5 hours. Like even when I just have allergies and I have like that constant itch right here in the like corner of my eye, I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. So what? Having pain and like having something in there. No.
But I like couldn't, it was so crazy because I couldn't find anything. So then I was like, it's definitely scratched. And then what do? Like just get like ointment or like eye drop healer or something? I don't even know.
I don't actually know, but one time my friend in San Diego, we went to a movie or something and then we went to dinner and he was like, my eye is just on fire. Like, I don't know what's wrong. He started having like chills and like it was really dramatic. And finally he confesses that he had used hydrogen peroxide to clean his contacts, but then didn't rinse them afterwards. And put them in his eye. And so he had like a chemical burn on his eyes.
My mom did that once with, she thought she was using on her contact. She thought she was putting contact solution in them, but she really was putting like nail, like something for your nails. And so she did it because she can't see. Like she really couldn't see. So she did it and put it right in her eye. And she like burned off the like, I don't even know. It was really
like,
bad.
Like nail polish remover or something?
It was like some nail like, nail something for, I don't know, my dad has something on his nails. It was like some sort of ointment for your nails. It just went right in her eye, burned it off.
Yeah, that's not great. Woof.
So you should have seen me on my run yesterday. I had like full on like hat, glasses, I bought visors, and then my mask. So I'm just like fully
covered. Neil Armstrong running around.
Yeah, but I love to like smile at people when I'm running, and now I'm just like, they don't know. They can't even see what's going on underneath all that stuff.
It's for the best.
Yeah, but you know what's going on. Have y'all been like, because Natalie last week recommended books and movies and like podcasts and stuff. Did y'all watch or listen or read? And did y'all do anything? I know Tanya said you were taking a class.
Yeah, I signed up for that. This class is called Do the Work. And then I watched 13th and I started reading White Fragility.
What is the class? Like, how often? Is the class just a one-time thing? And who is it?
Honestly, it's a daily thing. It's supposed to be for 30 days. I think she just inundated with requests right now because I put in my request a while ago and I still haven't gotten anything. But a friend of mine did. So she's forwarding me her lessons.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of just to learn more. Cause I think I discovered that I'm wildly, not in the know of what's going on.
I mean, I think we're all feeling that. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. And I think my thing has always been that, you know, as I said, I've always been so scared to rock the boat in any way and to have a strong enough opinion to make people upset who don't agree. And it's weird because speaking up for something like this that feels like so internally wrong, it's kind of helped me find my voice. I've had really tough conversations with family members and friends that I've never had before. I think I'm gonna see a therapist next week for the first time in my life ever. just like a big deal, because I kind of was raised to think like therapy, you know, like I didn't need it because I had God, and you know, I'm obviously, I believe in prayer and God, but I also believe that God created therapists to help people. Mm-hmm. So, sure. But I think it's just like, there's a lot to unpack. And I think being able to, I sometimes don't talk about things because the easiest thing to do is just not talk and close off. And so I'm excited to talk to like someone who doesn't, it's an unbiased opinion, and I can just talk and be challenged. And so, yeah.
I think therapist is going to be, do loads of good for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm really excited. At first I've always been like, oh yeah, I think we even had an episode where I thought, yeah, I'd probably really benefit from therapy. But in my head, I was like, I'll probably never do that. But I think with everything going on, it's just, I think it's going to be really good to talk to someone and just process feelings and emotions. And I'm excited. I think it'll be good.
Friday night, we do a Friday night movie night with family. I think I mentioned that a few weeks ago. We've done, you know, Back to the Future and lots of stuff from when my wife and I were young. And then they watch stuff that they want to watch. We rotate. And this week we said, we're going to stop the rotation. We're going to watch Just Mercy because Apple put it out for free. And that's what kind of made me even remember that movie, Just Mercy, which was just came out in December.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan. Jamie Foxx. Yeah. And it was really, really excellent. It's a little heavy for my 11-year-old, maybe a little too heavy for my 11-year-old, at least in the, there's one part in it that was, but, in general it was very, very good. We're really trying to, you know, educate the kids as much as we are ourselves, but that was our move on Friday night.
And I want to see that one.
It's great.
Yeah. I just watched
it's
it hard. Last
it's,
night
it's tough.
Too.
It's a tough watch. Yeah. But it's uplifting at the end and hopeful.
Yeah. I felt the same way, Mark. I felt the same way that you were saying. Like, there's at first, at the beginning of last week, I felt defeated. I felt like this issue has been around for so long. Like, how do we even begin to unravel what it is? And this week, the past few days, I've had a perspective shift of being like, how cool is it to see? I've never seen so many people from so many different walks of life come together for a bigger purpose. And it's almost like this switch of like, yeah, this is devastating. And the fact that it's been happening is horrendous and horrific, but there is a hopeful view on it if you can get there.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right in terms of like, it is crazy because as I've been reading White Fragility, I've been realizing like everything that it's been saying that we as white people do to like, you know, say we're like not racist and things like that, like to combat that is everything that, you know, I've said or things that I've done, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know. Like even last week I said, I don't see color. And I was so well intentioned with that. And now I realize why that's a problem, you know? So it's like, I appreciate everybody, you know, with the feedback and explaining that that is harmful to say, you know? And so it's just kind of realizing these things that like I was doing with the best intention, but like wasn't realizing how detrimental it was to the movement.
Same. Like reading White Fragility is mind blowing and it's such a check. Like I keep having moments where every paragraph, I feel like I have to read it like 3 times because my brain can't comprehend, you know, whether it's the statistics or just the truth, like of being called out for certain things I've said or done. But, I also read somewhere because, you know, a lot of people are like, we're trying our best, go easy on us. And someone was like, go easy on y'all. Like, what do you mean? No, step up, like do your research, like be aware of what's going on. And it's so true that, you know, we always say we're doing the best that we can, but it's not true. Like we can always do better. And that's the point of growth.
Yeah.
So I agree though.
My pastor, during our service on Sunday was kind of like put it really like into like in a good perspective for me, because I think I'm such a person that likes to take charge. You know what I mean? It's like, I see something and I just want to like fix it, or I want to like be a part and like help. And I constantly feel like I'm not doing enough always. And he was kind of saying that like, sometimes you need to take a second and listen and learn before you can lead. And I was like,
yeah, It's like, true. It
shook me. I was like, he's right.
I struggled a lot because I was posting on my story. I was like reposting things that I read and that I liked and I wanted to share. And I was getting messages like really, you know, encouraging, but also felt like kind of forceful to post on my like main page. And in my mind, I was thinking like, I'm trying to learn. I'm not going to just post to just get my post up and then be done. So I do think it's important to recognize that just because you might not see what someone's doing on social media doesn't mean they're not doing something.
Oh, totally. And we were actually talking about it this morning after the morning show. Because like I have gone to a couple of the protests and I have whipped out my phone and I was going to, you know, video and post it on my Instagram. And I was like, it's not about me or like, do you know what I mean? And it's like, what do I need to prove to anybody that I'm here? Or does that make sense? Like it was this weird, like internal debate where I was like, I just need to, you know, right now I'm really just trying to be a sponge and I'm trying to just like expose myself to as many things as I can.
That's an interesting balance because you want it to like look at what's happening, look at all this amazing stuff going. This is the site, this is the scene right now in Studio City. Look what's happening. But on the other side, are you also saying, look how great I am being at this protest, everybody? And you don't, and even if only a few people see it that way, you don't want anybody to see it that way.
Yeah, because I'm just like, it's not about me,
right?
You know what I mean? And it's, I don't know, it's like this weird, I've been having this like weird internal, kind of, because it's like, I do want to be vocal and I obviously want to speak up and in my heart, what is right. But I also think, it's, there's so much to unlearn and there's so much to unpack that like, I'm just getting my bearings.
It's so true. It's like beyond learning so much, there is the unlearning of so much. And it's like getting rid of the trash and then filling it with something. And it does get to, like your brain feels like it's doing more work. My brain feels like it's doing more work than it's ever done, which maybe that just shows I need to really just maybe read some more or watch some more educational movies. But I was really proud of, you know, the Facebook group. There's been some division but I posted something and some of the comments under the conversations, even though they may differ in opinion, I felt like they were really constructive and people were listening to each other. And I thought that was really cool, even though there's always progress to be made. It was nice to see like nothing got nasty or out of hand. It was, from what I saw, pretty like respectful conversations and dialogue. So, yeah, just got to keep talking about it and keep learning when we do or say the wrong thing too. All right, we're back. I also wanted to say that if y'all have any guests that you would like for us to try and get on the podcast or people that you follow on Instagram, like whether it's just like someone that you're inspired by or they're really educational in the Black community, I would love to have them on. My dream would be Tabitha. I posted about her the other day. She has the kindest voice ever. She feels like everything she says feels like a warm, cozy hug. But anyone that you would like for us to reach out to, even podcasters would be really cool. Authors, teachers, like I said, bloggers, just send them our way. Or put them in the Facebook group. And I'm going to be looking to, I have a few that I would like to reach out to. And that's that. So Mark has a game for us coming up. Are we going to do that now or are we going to do
it? We can do it whenever you want to do it. We can do it anytime.
Maybe let's do emails and then end with the game.
All right. Well, here's one thing I wanted to ask you guys, just because I saw this in the Facebook group and I thought, I guarantee Tanya's got a funny answer for this.
I think I know what you're going to you post it is. Yeah. Do you want me to guess before you say? Okay. Is it the one of like what's something weird that you're attracted to?
Yes!
I knew it.
Olivia posted this. What's the weirdest thing you're attracted to in another person? I don't know how to explain mine. I'm so attracted to guys who are injured. Like, even strangers in public, if they have a cast or a sling or crutches, I'm like, holy S, let's F. Wow.
Holy S, let's F?
That's what Olivia said. So,
holy S,
let's Tanya, F. What is it? What is it about a guy that just makes you, like, make that weird slurpy face that you do sometimes?
I mean, the thing is, like, it could be a plethora of things. Like, literally just watching Red Star cut fish was, like, made me literally, like, I can't even
careful.
Say the word.
Yeah, careful. Yeah. I was like, no.
Do you have I know. I was going to try and PG it, but you just can't. It's just a vulgar sentence. But so that was, like, the most recent thing where I was just like,
do you have the same reaction if he's cutting like vegetables or something, or does it have to be seafood?
No, because when he cuts vegetables, he's like chopping. It's like with the fish, it was just so much honor and delicacy. It was just like,
so strange. I mean, the injured one is so specific because like, I love, there is like a certain type of hand that I like.
Interesting.
Like hands. I'm trying to.
I asked a girl out in like college once because of her hands.
Yeah, hands are important.
Yeah, she was in my history discussion group and she had very, very nice hands. And so I called her and asked her out and she said no. No, actually, no, that's not true. I asked her for her number. She gave it to me and then I called her and she never returned my call.
She probably got lost and then like a lion ate it.
Sure, it's probably that. Yeah.
Yeah. She forgot. Do y'all have any weird ones? I don't think I have anything weird. I think that's, I'll have to be aware of what things that I'm attracted to.
Hands is interesting. Like, I think hands qualifies.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like a lot of people have that.
Easton's grinning.
Have that though.
Like, I think like a hairy chest.
Yeah, you like
is
hairy
just, like,
dudes. That's really
yeah.
True.
You do like hairy.
A hairy chest is my oasis, and let me tell you, Red Star is like, what's the like biggest oasis on the world?
I don't want to know, and you can just end the conversation there because I get it.
It's nice.
It's an oasis, you say.
It's an oasis of pleasure.
I remember your comments on Ben Higgins' chest hair. I think that was.
Oh my!
So
this is good too.
Similar oasis.
The biggest oasis in the world is the Al Asa Oasis in Saudi Arabia.
That's
I thought so.
That's Red Star right there.
That makes me feel overwhelmed and stressed.
You should see it. I should send you a photo.
I don't need no. I really like. I don't need it. I promise.
I'd like a photo.
I like, trust you.
I'd like. A
I would.
Photo.
Easton, do you have one?
You know, I really like big butts.
You cannot lie?
I'm quite capable of lying, but I'm not lying about this. You know, that I was trying to think if there's anything weird, but really it's I just have to go with butts.
I don't think that's weird. I think hands and butts are pretty normal.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly that's what it is. I'm sorry, I wish I had a better answer.
Okay, that's all right. All right, let me read an email here.
Some of the answers on that thread, though, were really funny.
Allison, strangely enough, just because Easton's wife is Allison. But anyway, Allison says, I started seeing this guy back in January. We were taking things pretty slow. This isn't the usual case for my relationships, but he seemed pretty nervous to make a move. However, I was a bit confused because he's the most confident but not cocky guy. Fast forward to now. We started taking things to the next level. Long story short, he was nervous and couldn't keep it up for us to do anything. He explained that there's only been two other girls he's had feelings for before me, and he's had the same problem with them, but he's had friends with benefits situations where he hasn't had a problem at all. I've done some research. It seems like this is pretty common for men. I'm hoping we can work past this because I actually have strong feelings for this guy, but if sex is off the table, it's definitely a deal breaker.
Oh, what? Remember when we had that? Was she a sex therapist or she was a relationship therapist? Remember a few weeks ago?
Recently? Yeah. The girl from
Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
I'm she made the comment, I feel like we had someone talk about this, or we talked about this, and that it could be that he doesn't feel, like, maybe it's because the emotions that he's having are overwhelming. He's never felt them for the first time. I don't know. I'm kind of blanking. It feels like a long time ago, but I felt like there was a similar situation. What are y'all's?
We're guys. I can simplify this whole situation.
Oh, great. Do it.
I'll be careful. What's going on with this guy. He likes you a lot, and he wants it to be great, and he's in his head about it. He's not in his head when he's with a one-night stand, because who cares? He's never going to see her again. It's no big deal. Or friends with benefits, everything's on the table. It's no big deal. He wants to impress you, and he wants to impress you so badly that he's really not impressing you. So you need to be patient and really not care about it. Because if he thinks you care about it, it's going to get worse and worse and worse each time. But if you're able to do things to each other in other ways, it'll really relax things. Like if we can have a longer period of a pregame, or perhaps we have some time where that's not happening, just other things are happening, and then we can work our way to that. It's going to be fine is what I'm trying to say. It's going to be just fine. And just take the pressure off of him, because it is no big deal. And once he gets it in his head that it's no big deal, it's going to be great.
Should he take like something?
No, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Becca's solution to everything is an edible.
No, it's not.
I thought you were going to suggest a Viagra or something. And no, he shouldn't do that. But no, maybe something to relax. Maybe. I don't know. I've never done that.
Well, like just if it's in his head and it's like the anxiety and the pressure of it, maybe that's like, it. Or like a glass of wine.
I know,
wine.
Because like think about it. Like guys actually have to like perform. Like, and don't even get me started on like the penis. Are we allowed to say penis?
Have a great time. Say it.
It's pretty, yeah.
Like the penis, like I just, the whole phenomenon of it is so weird, how it can be so small and then get so large. It just like, God it willing. Just is beyond me. But it's like they actually have to, like you guys actually have to like get something up, versus like girls just have to like be in the mood, I guess. Like we don't have to like physically get our boobs up or something. Like, you know what
yes,
I'm saying? Like
yes.
it's so weird to me. So I can see how that, like, you would get in your head. I feel like I'd be in my head all
it
the time.
It is a very mental thing. So, yes, have patience with him.
Yeah,
it's going to be fine.
You know, they don't talk about that enough for you guys.
No,
because
guys don't like to talk about that. Guys all wanted to, they're the biggest alpha male who's ever lived.
If I can share something really quick. Over 10 years ago, my wife Allison and I worked at a movie theater together. We were friends, and there was a mutual attraction, and we were hanging out one night. And things got hot and heavy, and your boy had a migraine, and I was also in my head about this, and things didn't quite happen, and I was really embarrassed of it, and we didn't talk about it for a very, very, very long time, and then years later we reconnected, and we did talk about it, and things progressed from there, and now we are married, and I often think about how my life would have turned out differently if I had just been honest that. First night, I could have been in my 12th year of marriage by now. Who knows? But it's real. That doesn't happen to me, but it happened that night.
And like, what if she had written you off just for that one time that things didn't happen?
I know. So have patience, I guess.
This
you never
email
know.
From Allison is dated 12 years ago. That's so weird.
No!
Coincidence!
Interesting.
So
Allison,
funny.
Let him know that you're not going anywhere, no matter what.
Yeah.
And
yes.
It's going to be fine.
And then maybe for a different day, we can talk about the penis. I'm so interested.
That is a tease.
Like how it just... What a tease. How we could just go from being like this little shriveled thing into like a spaceship.
I bet Red Star will be so thrilled to hear little shriveled thing.
Well, spaceship.
Described.
No, not
I mean, sure, she like, did say spaceship.
It's just like, do you know what I'm saying? I'm like, every guy, this is like happens to every guy. It's just like, it's this little
it's
thing.
Anatomy,
and then it,
yeah,
it's so weird. Isn't that weird? When they get turned on, this thing just.
And also randomly as well.
Yes.
Oh, it can just go
absolutely.
Random?
Absolutely.
It goes rogue?
Yeah. There are certain things that are a little more consistent. Like there are, like sometimes the vibration of a car can make that happen. Sometimes when you're just walking around.
Sometimes if you hit like a whopper in softball, you know, it just happens. Like a grand slam.
Wow.
It's just blood flow. That's all it is.
That's when you hear about like in like kids in like school that get them because they just happen sometimes. And you always wake up with one. It doesn't mean you were dreaming about something, you know, exciting. It's usually not the case at all.
Tonya, why are you shocked by that?
You wake up with one every morning?
Pretty much.
It's how I wake up. That's what wakes me up.
It's the alarm clock?
Oh my God, I'm going to ask him that.
You've heard that expression, so morning wood. That's what that is.
Yes, morning wood.
Great.
Speaking of.
Yes.
Well, not speaking of morning wood, but Red Star, he's about to come over and I'm having like gnarly gas. So.
You better just let it. You should just.
I have been this whole podcast, but I'm like.
That is one advantage to the quarantine is we didn't know that.
Oh man, just like ripping it up in there.
I have to. He's gonna be here in like an hour and I cannot. Like,
you should
like,
open a window.
Yeah, that's true.
I have candles.
You're just sitting in
you
it.
You might not smell it. You'll get used burning. To it.
Yeah.
So we record this.
And you know what? Not to get too graphic, they're not super smelly.
Are they audible?
Yes.
Okay. I
heard it.
We're recording this.
I'm muting my mic.
You mean your mic. So as I say, we record this over Zoom, which is not as clear of an audio feed, but when we mix this whole thing down, I feel like we're going to be treated to some additional content.
I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm stressed.
I mean, you have 3 bathrooms. I'll never understand this problem.
I know, man.
You know, we all get in our head about different things. That's the theme of this segment of the show.
Yeah.
The brain controls everything.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
All right. Here's another email if you're ready. This is from Rainy. This guy has been my best friend for years, confessed his deeper feelings to me around Christmas. We've been talking ever since, and he's literally the sweetest guy. No one's ever made me feel truly loved like that. A few weeks ago, he brought up having a title and being official. I guess, meaning boyfriend, girlfriend. And I told him I needed to think about that due to the fact that he recently moved 11 hours away. But I eventually said yes. I had a conversation with my mom, and she brought up all of the concerns I also had with me being in college for 3 to 4 years. I worry I'm going to miss out on the college experience I was hoping for in a relationship with someone I'll rarely see. Do I wait until we're in person after COVID to see if my feelings change? I am really in a funk.
Yeah, I would be in a funk too. That's rough. I would say I personally, because you're going to college, like you're so young, I would say go to college, do your thing. If you can't stop thinking about him and none of the other guys compare to him and you just feel like he's the one you want to be with, then make that decision. But I think you go and do your thing and enjoy, you know, what college and life has to offer.
See, I think the opposite, because I think that if you don't try, you're always going to wonder, what if I just tried that? You know what I mean?
We know what you mean.
And I mean, maybe they try it out for a few months and she'll quickly know if she's in it or not, you know?
Right. And she might go to college and be like, whoa, the steak out here is much better, you know?
Or just like, I feel like I'm missing out because I'm constantly having to worry about keeping this relationship alive when he's 11 hours away. Like, you know, when someone's with you physically and you're able to see them and remember what that connection is, it makes it easier to make the relationship work. I just think that maybe she goes into college with the attempt of keeping the relationship going, but like not being afraid to break it off if it's not where she wants it to be.
Becca's right.
Wait, Becca, do you remember when, like, years ago, you always used to say that, like, you were like, I want a long-distance relationship. I think that's better for me. Like, I just want someone that's far away that I can talk to, like, little by little and like do my
own
thing.
Don't want to be bothered.
Could you? That's like not the case anymore.
No, it's not. Phoebe lives farther. With me.
It couldn't be farther from the case now.
Phoebe lives right with me, and Phoebe. I don't wish for long distance. No, it's funny. Like, things change.
No, Becca's right about this.
Thank you.
11 hours away. I mean, this is not happening. And by the way, if this was the man of your dreams, for sure, you would not have sent us this email. You already know this is not the man of your dreams. You were hesitant when he even brought it up to you in the first place. Go to college. I went to college. I live with my parents because they lived only 10 minutes off of campus. Big mistake. I missed out on the college life, and I regret that. And you will regret that, too, if you're worried about this guy that's 11 hours away always when you're in college. And, oh, I can't go out with my friends because he'll get jealous and all the nonsense that college guys bring into your life. Just enjoy college. Have a great time. This guy, let him go. If it's meant to be, it'll happen.
It's funny because guys. Tanya If you really want to be with someone, you're so excited about making it official with someone, you know? So if you're like questioning that, that's a sign, something to think about.
Very good point.
That's true.
All right. This is a heavy email. It's from an anonymous listener. Almost a year ago, I left the Facebook group. I had seen quite a few nasty, bullying, and racially motivated comments in the group. This one is kind of heartbreaking. Then someone began targeting me. I was a little surprised because I didn't comment much. I'm also not technically a person of color. I'm Persian. I left the group and noticed some of the other women had left too. I reached out to them and we talked and had similar experiences. I continued to listen to the podcast and was annoyed every time I heard how wonderful the Facebook group was. But I continued. But then the episode talking about Hannah B. dropped and I couldn't even finish it. I appreciated a small acknowledgement that the Facebook group isn't perfect, but Tanya saying it's okay, we all make mistakes, was horrible. You don't get to say when it's okay because you are not the person impacted or hurt by the action. That assumption in itself is privileged. I stared at the next episode for a while with a lot of angst in my gut and finally decided to give it a shot. But here we are again this week. I think it's wonderful to take a step back and say, I don't know. I'm going to listen and learn. That's a major point of all this going on. But if you're going to address it and not be scared anymore, like Becca said, then just do it. Don't tiptoe around it. Having someone on who hasn't experienced racism and hasn't been knowledgeable on it is not helpful, whether she's African-American or not. If you're going to take responsibility for your voice and your content, then be thoughtful about it.
I mean, that this is what I said in the last episode of keep, you know, calling us out and keep holding us accountable. I think, first of all, I just want to say thank you for still listening. Like, the fact that you left the group a year ago and you've continued to listen and hear what we have to say is thank you for doing that, because when I get frustrated with something, I normally just write it off and then I'm done. I don't want to discredit having Natalie Cherry on last week as our listener, just because she hasn't experienced as much racism in her life as maybe someone else. I don't want to discredit the fact that she actually did, right before that podcast, experience it, because that was kind of the point of like people thinking that it's not happening, and that was just showing it is happening. She went her whole life, and then just recently, more than ever, where you think it's done, someone says something to her and kind of shifts her brain probably completely. And we wanted to have her on because she wanted to share sources for people to learn. And I think everyone is learning a lot. Everyone's listening a lot. And there is a lot of unknown of saying the wrong thing or not saying enough or saying enough, but then someone else getting hurt. And so, continue to challenge us. And I'm sorry that you don't feel like we've taken a big enough stand and that you were bullied out of the Facebook group. Like, I don't want that to be the case. I think overall, when we say how great the Facebook group is, overall, at least from a big perspective, it is one of the kinder groups that I've seen on the internet. So hearing that someone was basically bullied out makes me mad and makes me feel really frustrated and upset, but I just wanted to say sorry. I don't want to defend anything. We are all learning, and that means finding our voice. And it sometimes, for certain personality types, just speaking up on something is a big deal. So just know that there is intention of doing better and saying more and being more aware of what people are saying in the Facebook group and to each other online. And I'm sorry that it came to the point where you left the group and were frustrated and hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I'm sorry for saying that it's okay. People make mistakes. Although I do believe that, you know, it's like my intention is always from a good place. Like, I don't feel like anybody is in my, from what I feel in our Facebook group and from our listeners, I feel like everybody is very encouraging. So it is like, you know, I didn't know what was going on, and I'm not on the Facebook group as much as I should be, probably monitoring. I'm not seeing everything that's going on. So it's like, I shouldn't speak to that if I don't know. So, you know, that's the last thing I'd want to do is, like, you know, make you feel even worse by saying that it's okay. 'Cause it's not okay, you know, to make anybody feel that way. So I apologize. But again, with speaking about it, it's like, you know, we're all kind of, you can't expect like I don't know what the word is, blinders were just pulled off. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of uncovered so much that I didn't even realize. And so it's like, you can't go from just, the best analogy I heard from somebody was like, you need to have a little bit of grace in terms of, you can't just come out of the womb and expect to be running the next day. You know, you have to like crawl and walk and, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm just kind of in that process right now. That's where I'm at.
Please report.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just please report anybody who's causing those kinds of problems on the Facebook group. We'd much rather get rid of them than lose you. So I have to feign ignorance. I'm not even sure what the process is of reporting somebody. I know Crystal Amanzada moderates all that stuff. So if you want to let her know, but we really don't want that sort of behavior in the Facebook group. We want it to be, apparently we were imagining it was a nicer place than it is. We want it to get to the level that we thought it was.
And exactly. I believe it was there at some point.
I think the thing is that I've noticed in some of the messages I've got is that people of color have not felt really like it's a safe place to post all the time and have conversations. And therefore all we're seeing are people who kind of all look the same and think the same. And of course it's nice because it's, you know, everyone with the same mm-hmm. like beliefs and, you know, that's just what's to be expected if that's the case. But I'm realizing that there is a disconnect of, you know, we're two white girls who are learning and who, like you said, have just had the blinders pulled off, who all their life thought, I was taught to love everybody. But our system as a society is favored towards white people. So anyone who is not white has a disadvantage just for their skin color. And so that it resonates in everything. Like, I don't know if you've gotten to the part of white fragility, but the statistics of like, have you gotten to where it's the statistics of like teachers that are black, CEOs, the richest people in America, 100% white, like, it's shocking and pretty eye-opening. So I just want to say, like Mark said, report things that, and if you're white, more so than people of color having to do this, mm-hmm. if you see something that you know in your heart is not right, and it's going to, and it's bullying or it's racist towards someone, report it. Because Tanya, like she said, she's not on it that much. I'm on it a lot, but there's 30,000 people in that group. Like, it's hard to catch everything that's going on. So just report it. And sometimes it's going to be our fight as white people who are just realizing to stand up for people who have not been stood up for and not been able to stand up for themselves. So I think that email is really eye-opening to seeing what's really going on instead of us just thinking it's this blissfully happy place, which there's a lot of good in it. I've seen a lot of great things in there, but I want it to be good for everybody. And I don't want people to feel like they can't be a part because they don't fit in. Because what's the point of having a great kindness group if it's not kind to everybody?
Well said. I have a game for us, for all of you who love Friends, Grey's Anatomy, and Sex and the City. And that's next.
Oof. Friends and Grey's I got, but Sex and the City.
Well, we'll see how you
challenge
do.
Challenge me.
All right.
All right, we'll be back.
All right, here's how this is going to work. I have come up with obscure characters from all of these shows. And you will have to tell me if they are an obscure character from Grey's, Sex and the City, or Friends. You do not have to tell me who they are or anything. You can just kind of guess if you want to, and then I'll explain who they were. But I'll name an obscure character, first and last name. You tell me Grey's, Sex and the City, or Friends. Okay, ready?
Okay.
All right. Actually, why don't you rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first. It's the first person to get three correct is our champion. I'll just say 1, 2, 3, shoot, and then you guys shoot, okay? Here we go.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, shoot. Okay, both scissors. Here we go again. 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Oh, no.
Paper covers rock. Tanya wins. All right, Tanya, here is your first one.
Okay.
Elizabeth Stevens.
Grey's Anatomy.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. And we don't have our buzzer because we're not in the studio. Elizabeth Stevens was the student Ross dates in season 6. Her dad was played by Bruce Willis.
I know that girl.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Next. Becca, this is yours. Bram Walker. Grey's Anatomy.
Sex and the City.
That is right. Very good, Becca.
Who is Bram Walker?
Bram Walker dated Charlotte in season 2 and always fell asleep during the act.
Or at, well, I remember
at least,
him too.
At least did once. All right, Tanya, back to you. Donald Ledbetter.
I have not known one of these.
Well, Becca's winning so far, so you kind of need this one.
Donald Ledbetter. Friends.
Right.
Oh.
Season 5, Ross's boss at the museum ate his leftover turkey sandwich from Thanksgiving.
I remember him
too.
Of course you do. Becca, back to you. The game is tied 1-1. Lauren Boswell. Who is Lauren Boswell, Becca?
Oh, let me tell you, that is Grey's Anatomy,
yes,
who Arizona
is.
Cheated with, played by Peyton Sawyer, a.k.a. Hillary Burton.
Wow, that was impressive.
Yeah, I did not remember her name.
Season 9. Becca, that you were not confident going into this game, but you were doing well. All right, Tanya, back to you. This is round 3, so you kind of need this one.
I have not known one so far, so.
Renee Collier.
Sex and City.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, she was on Grey's Anatomy as well. She was working at the National Institute of Health when Derek was there, and they kissed.
Oh.
In season 11.
Remember?
No, I definitely don't even remember.
Yeah,
that.
He cheated, and then he came back, and then he died. Right. Oh, spoiler alert.
I think we're good. All right, Becca, this is for the win now. This will be your third one right if you can get it, and your name is Melissa Warburton.
I'm going to go Sex in the City.
Oh, I'm sorry. She was on Friends.
Friends. Damn.
She was played by Winona Ryder, one of Rachel's sorority sisters.
Oh,
they made out.
She kissed.
Senior year in college.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember her either.
All right, we're going to round 4 now. It is 2 for Becca, 1 for Tanya. Here we go, Tanya. Alexander Lindley.
This name sounds familiar.
All right, you can tie it up here if you get this right.
Grey's.
Sex and the City.
Sex and the City.
Oh, Becca knew that one. Do you know who he was?
Did he date Carrie?
No, he dated Charlotte and verbally berated her while they were doing it.
That was Alexander Petrovsky.
Yeah. So that was actually a lucky guess. Because I was thinking Alexander.
Oh, there you go. All right, Becca, this is for the win now for you.
All right.
Reed Adamson.
Oh, that's Grey's Anatomy. She was the intern that got shot.
Wow. By Gary Clark. Yeah. Good. Very good, yeah. Becca. That is a win and well deserved, Becca. You know your stuff. That was really nice.
I did not know one of those. So the fact that I even got a point is
success.
And just because I pulled it, the only one we didn't get to is Thomas John Anderson, who was Miranda's boyfriend, who always has to shower immediately after the act on Sex and the City.
I remember him.
Yeah.
I always used to like not want to be a Miranda. Like I was like, oh, and now I'm like way more of a Miranda than I think.
But you are a Charlotte, so you say, yes?
Yeah, I think you're more Charlotte.
For sure I'm Charlotte. But I'll just love that like Miranda was such like a modern woman. You know what I mean? She was just like career and like, ah.
It feels good to be a winner of the quiz. It felt That's good to actually game. Know and not just like randomly guessing.
It wasn't hard for Becca.
Hard.
All right. Well, everyone, take care of yourselves, educate yourselves, be aware of what's going on, be kind. If you have an opinion, especially I'm talking to the Facebook group, and just have conversations with each other, have dialogue with each other. Don't go on the defense. Don't go on the attack immediately. Try to just teach each other. Like I've had so many people DM me and they're like, I know that they want to just get in a argument with me, and I've just calmly responded with what I'm learning and facts about what I've learned. It's just been a constructive conversation of understanding each other and also understanding what's going on. So
I mean, for sure, me too. Everybody was messaging me about things I said last week that were offensive, and I had no idea, and I'm like the first to say I'm sorry, you know, like I'm trying and I'm learning, and I'm not like trying to defend myself in any way, because I understand that like that's also part of the problem. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And if like, if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, that's so wrong, or that is not accurate, then correct us. Like we're human beings. And so just we're here to listen to y'all. Cause you're who we're talking, you're who we do this for. So we're open to criticism and encouragement and anything that you want to send us. It is Open Mic Central. So we love you guys, and we will see you next week or talk to you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.